the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, on the mountain of Transfiguration, God the Father gave Peter, James, and John a lesson in the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The Sabbath day is not one particular day of the week, but every time we gather, we Christians gather around the Word of God, or we study the Word of God on our own, or catechesis takes place. You know the meaning of the commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. When God the Father spoke forth from the cloud to Peter, James, and John, He said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." That "listen to Him" is not just a phrase tacked on to the familiar words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," words that were spoken to Jesus at His baptism. And we observed His baptism on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. But "listen to Him" it followed upon the words of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And because this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to Him." He has important things to say to you. He has the words of eternal life. Listen to Him. It is not an option. This is an imperative, a command. Now, when going off in a personal illustration here, forgive me, I don't use those too often. But when I was a kid, that was back in the days when doctors made house calls. And I remember waking up sick one night. And so my parents called the doctor and he came. And I don't know if I guess he had a shot to give me. Maybe I had an ear infection. That's not important. But being 3 or 4 or 5 years old, I pitched a fit. And I don't want the shot. And my father said, "Listen, you're going to get the shot, so settle down." Now, those were words of command. These were imperative words, but my father spoke them for my good and well-being. And thus it is with us. When God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," Him, Jesus, "with whom I am well pleased," because He fulfills the law, He fulfills my commandments, and what's more, He is going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Therefore, listen to Him. Listen to what He says. Now, the Transfiguration took place 6 days after Jesus had asked His disciples in the region of Caesarea Philippi, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, you're one of the prophets, you're John the Baptist come back from the dead." So Jesus asked the question more pointedly, "And you, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, as the spokesman for the disciples, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Again, echoing the words that the Father spoke at Jesus' baptism, echoing the words that the Father spoke at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus pronounced a beatitude, a blessing upon Simon Peter. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Through the Holy Spirit sent by the Father, the Holy Spirit who comes forth in the words I speak, the Holy Spirit, whose power is on display in my healings and the miracles that I perform, the Father in heaven has revealed to you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're told that immediately after Peter's confession, Jesus began to tell his disciples, he began to teach them that he, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was going to Jerusalem and there be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and there he was going to die and rise again. Now, Simon, whom Jesus had just pronounced blessed, took exception to this. He said, God forbid, Lord, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for you have in mind the things of men and not the things of God. Listen to him. Simon Peter was willing to listen to Jesus up to a point. You know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've long been waiting for. You're the one who is going to set up an earthly kingdom. And Israel will be first among the nations, and everything's going to be good and great. And Jesus says, wait a minute, that's not the way it's going to be, Simon Peter. I can imagine Simon Peter grumbling, kicking stones because he felt chastised at the Lord's rebuke and maybe a little ashamed of himself. We don't know that. But anyway, after 6 days, Jesus goes up on the mountain of transfiguration. He's transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. Now, this is a prefigurement, a preview of the glory of the risen and ascended Christ. This is on display, both his divine nature as true God from all eternity and his human nature begotten of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. It is testimony to who Jesus is, that he is both true God and true man. And again, there appear to the disciples Moses and Elijah, important Old Testament prophets. Luke tells us that they were speaking with Jesus regarding his exodus, his departure, which would soon take place in Jerusalem. Exodus, we know that that is the second book of the Old Testament. We know that in the book of the Exodus, we have the story, the account of how God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. Well, there is a greater slavery, a worse slavery, than being bound to someone, being enslaved by someone, having to obey their every word, every whim, having to obey their will. And that is the enslavement to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus says that everyone who does not hear my words is enslaved, is a slave to the devil. And the devil does not want good things for you. He wants bad things, and the ultimate bad thing, he wants you to be separated from God in Gehenna and hell for all eternity. And if God had not acted, that would indeed be our just fate. It would indeed be a just punishment from God. But God has acted. He has acted in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has acted on your behalf. Because this Christ, this Son of the living God, this one whose divine nature shone forth through His human nature, was going to do just as He told Simon Peter. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. He was going to suffer and be crucified and die. And He was going to be raised again. And all this He would do as the atoning sacrifice for the world's sins. All this He would do as the Lamb appointed by God, the one who carries in His own sinless flesh the sins of the world away, who removes them from you as far as the east is from the west, which is a pretty long distance, I believe. He will cast your sins into the depth of the sea, the prophet says, and remember them no more. And in Christ Jesus, that is exactly what He has done. So listen to Him, Simon Peter, for He has the words of eternal life. And He is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because He's going to die for your sins, Simon Peter, your hard-headedness, your, in essence, betrayal of Jesus by denying that you knew Him three times. Listen to Him, James and John. Listen to Him, all the rest of the 12 who were not on the mountain. And it's like dropping a pebble into a still pool of water. The concentric rings go forth from where the pebble hit the water. And so it is. This command, this imperative from God the Father has reached us as well. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Christ Jesus, the one portrayed for us on the cross and the crucifix, the one who is proclaimed to us as a crucified, victorious one. Listen to Him. And that's what you're doing in the proclamation of the gospel. That's what you're doing when you hear those words, take, eat, my body given for you. Take, drink, my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Listen to Him. What Jesus has to say is important, vitally important, the most important message in all the world, an enduring word of salvation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus' words shall never pass away. And when God tells us to listen to His Son, He is speaking in an imperative, yes, but He is speaking in an imperative, in a command, because He knows what is good for us. And He has given us a new nature in Christ that delights in the Word of God, but we still have that old nature. We still have the devil. We still have the world luring us away from the Word of Christ. Luring us to other voices to which we can listen and sometimes do. So God the Father, through His word of law and gospel, is constantly directing us back to Christ. He's directing us in the way of contrition and repentance so that we can kill the old Adam by contrition and repentance, and that new nature in Christ, that new man in Christ, arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what He says to you in the proclamation of the Word. Listen to Him when He says that He is your only Savior. He is the only one who reconciles you to God the Father. He is the only one who brings you to heaven and to the resurrection of the body. Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.